and welcome to the Second Funniest Podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode 503. With me, as always, is the one, the only...
Even all New York.
They might be giants, but even he can stop them.
The change it.
The KevinMiller.com. Jump and press the circle button, Kevin.
Thank you,
Oh, we lost Kevin, too. I am a horrible producer.
Why does that keep happening to
because
you?
Because I didn't really listen to the whole clip. I'm just going to let it go and turn it off myself. That's how that's going to happen.
Oh, you thought you could look at the waveform there and gadget.
Yeah, well, I did. No, not the waveform, but just like the timing of it. That's what I thought I was going to do.
Got it.
So that was my plan, and it did not work.
You're not the doctor.
No.
That's it.
No, I'm not. Wee, wee, wee. Unless that was ultimately my plan, if people do find it funny, then that would be like the doctor
probably,
of me.
That is true. Like, ow, my brain just bended in half.
I dropped some mad Doctor Who knowledge on you. That's a proud day for me.
That's good.
That's a proud day for me.
That's good.
I think I out-nerded you.
Yeah, very much so. You're further ahead.
That's all. It's a news break.
You hit the wrong key.
Yep.
Oh, that's what I was right. Nerd cred redacted.
Or was it?
Yeah, no, it was. You can get it back with these three questions.
Okay.
Who's Invader Zim's sidekick?
That doesn't really make me a nerd as much as it makes me not your closest friend.
Who is the president of the Klingon Empire? Come on.
All right. Yeah,
that's a pretty easy one.
Okay.
All right. Let me give you one that might be in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
What is the name of Starbucks' ship?
I don't know. Oh,
she's 16. She's on T Fighter 16. I made that one up. What?
Here's what I like about that bit. I like that the one that would be in my wheelhouse is the one you made up. That's what I like.
I don't think she didn't have a designation. What was Luke Skywalker's call sign when they're taking on the Death Star?
Death Star?
Yeah.
I want to say it was Gold Leader.
Oh, no, he's not a leader.
I know.
He was in Red Squad anyway.
I know, but it wasn't. I was like, it's not Red Leader because that's the guy who died.
Yeah, no, he's on Gold because he does the second pass.
He's not on Gold.
Is he an A-wing or X-wing? He's in an X-wing.
He's in an X-wing. Yeah. Now I've redacted. Now I'm sucking your nerd cred.
I'm not good at trivia. Is the problem?
Oh
no, I'm very good at trivia. Who was the first to get up at the table? In Prisoner of Azkaban, when they're enjoying Christmas dinner, and there are 13 people sitting at the table, and the first to stand up will die.
The first stands up will die?
Yeah. So Professor Trelawney says, no, I can't join you for Christmas dinner. They already have 12 at your table. If you add a 13th, the first that stands will surely die. And then Professor Dumbledore is like, you're an idiot. Sit down. And so they sit it down, and then somebody gets up first. Who gets up first?
Hear me out.
Okay.
Ron Weasley.
Oh, yeah, you're half right. Ron and Harry get up simultaneously. But, of course, she's wrong because they don't die.
Yeah.
This is Dumbledore.
Stupid urban legend in a wizard world. That's what that is.
But
that's two shades of wrong.
It was a good guess. I mean, you know, there's like a half dozen characters you probably could have.
Well, here's what I honestly thought.
The trap was I wanted you to say Dumbledore, and then I was going to really redact you.
I knew it had to be one of the kids. Well, my first thought was that it was one of the other teachers, but I couldn't pull a name. And then I was like, oh, what if it was the twin that died? And then I couldn't pull his name, so I went with Ron Weasley. That's what I did.
Oh, yeah. That's no, they're not there. I can't remember why they're having Christmas in... I think his family is gone. Like, Ron's family is
I was going to say,
Egypt.
Harry's family has always been gone.
Oh, too soon.
Now who got their nerd card redacted?
Redacted!
I don't know what you have to talk about, but
He is Red 5. Red 5.
I would love to talk about that movie that you and I were discussing.
Argo?
yes. I would love to talk about Argo.
Okay.
Only what I would like to talk about is that you got a screener because you're in the SAG Guild.
Yeah.
And I love the Mission Impossible message that you received at the end of the movie that you
yes.
were to destroy the disc.
As soon as that happened, I was like, I can't wait to put that on Facebook. And I was like, I can't put that on Facebook. They're going to come, because that's probably something they're trolling for, because they seem so concerned.
Unless you make a video of you destroying it.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, you know, but I'll talk about it on my podcast. No one's ever going
to listen to this.
So what Justin is referring to, I got a screener of Argo. And if you're not familiar with screeners, if you're part of
it. Well, all you have to do is say that you did it.
Yeah, I did it. I totally did it.
Yeah.
So I'm a part of the SAG and AFTRA Guild, and we have the SAG Awards that are coming up later in January. And so in order to vote properly on them, some of the studios give the union copies of the movie to then distribute to the members of the union so that you can watch it and then choose their movie to win these awards. It's kind of a big deal, I suppose. And so it's cool to get these screeners. It's like the one perk to paying into these unions is to get these movies that are sometimes still in theaters and you get a screener of it. I have a friend that had Wreck-It Ralph like the day after it came out. I'm like, that's pretty badass. But the Argo screener, usually they say something like, please don't copy this, don't give it out, you know, this is for you. And then every like half hour, a little thing will show up on the screen saying this is for consideration purposes only, don't copy it. And all that. So it makes it kind of a bad copy if you did want to sell it, so people know. And then they threaten you, like it's digitally watermarked and that kind of thing. I don't know how they can.
We have your children.
Yeah, so don't make copies. But whatever, you don't have a desire to make a copy of it anyway. It's going to be available in a couple weeks. But then the Argo one claimed they had this whole page where I quit, my jaw dropped and hit the floor. It said, when you're done viewing this screener, remove it from your drive and snap it in half so that it is unplayable for anyone else after you. And then discard the fragments in a way that someone couldn't collect it. I was like, are you kidding me?
Wow. See, I feel like that's what Ghost Protocol screener should have been. Yeah. I really think that should have been a Mission Impossible. People like, all right, and then they would do it.
It would be good. Yeah. But it's funny. A little while ago, they had the technology. Maybe it was either too expensive or people revolted that the DVDs and Blu-rays came in airtight containers, prepackaged like air sealed tight things. And then the moment you peeled it out of the airtight container, oxygen started to mess with the disc. So essentially, after about 12 to 24 hours of it hitting oxygen, the disc would become unreadable. There would be this material behind it that would turn black, and then the laser couldn't read it. Why they don't just do that, I don't know, because then I wouldn't have had a choice.
There's no chance of it, because it's just a plastic layer.
Yeah.
There's no chance of it ruining your DVD player.
Maybe it was ruining DVD players, and that's why people freaked
out. Or people were coincidentally having broken DVD players and were blaming it on that.
Yeah, maybe.
A lot of money that has to be paid.
But I thought, but there's still a way around it, because I have a consumer grade DVD player. I can record anything with my DVD. I can record anything with my computer. You know, it's like a $300 piece of technology sitting in Fry's, and you can record anything and have it in digital duplicated form that is completely removed of watermarks, completely removed of any digital meta message, because it's a signal to a signal.
Yeah, so you could drop $30 on the real Blu-ray and just make copies of that.
Yeah, forever and ever.
Boom
and ever.
Goes the dynamo.
So
boom goes the dynamo.
there's no point in all these, like, I guess there's one guy somewhere in Nebraska that's like, yeah, I'm going to sell this to all my kids in my neighborhood. And he probably did it and he succeeded. But like, for most of us, we're not going to be denting your market with the screener that you chose to give us.
Well, the real movie I wanted to talk about was Indie Gamer, the movie.
Oh, God. I was ready to make another joke.
Oh, what was it?
Silver Lining Playbook.
Okay, yeah. I'd like to talk about Jennifer Lawrence. she's the most desirable woman.
According to whom?
Megan Fox? Magazine, I think? No.
Megan Fox has
her beat. Hold on. Okay. Now we could really have this conversation.
Why
Jennifer
now?
Lawrence is far more desirable than Megan Fox.
I am going to pull up two pictures and I'm going
to... Do you know who Jennifer Lawrence is?
Yes, of course I know who Jennifer Lawrence is.
Because your lady likes the Hunger Games?
Jennifer Lawrence. She won the Golden Globe.
Yeah.
Who says that she is so desirable?
I think it's... I thought it was Maxim Magazine.
That is...
Maxim.
I don't know who makes up these decisions. Here's the thing. You know why Jennifer Lawrence got it? Because she's a hot item right now, because she's got movies out.
Right.
Megan Fox does not have any movies out and is not.
But Megan Fox is not more desirable. That's what it is. It's
really?
The 99 most desirable women, and I think she came in number one.
How is that not? Look, she has a tattoo on her side. How is she not more desirable? Megan, I mean, don't get me wrong. They're both beautiful women. And Jennifer
Lawrence.
Look
at Olivia Munn. She's number 99, I think.
Oh, made it. Number 100, Emily from The Bachelorette.
What? There's that girl.
My
that
ex.
That girl. No, I thought it was, let's see, there's got to be, I'll find it while we're talking. Because here's, but you have to agree that Jennifer Lawrence is more desirable than Megan Fox.
I don't agree. You just keep saying that. And you've
why?
You've
why would you think that Megan Fox is more... Are you saying to you or to all men?
Yes.
Wow. I disagree entirely.
I don't... Use your words. Megan Fox is Megan Fox. Like, she is... She's beautiful.
Okay. But
she's
hold
a
on.
Model. Like,
but here's
she's
the thing.
Stunning. When I look at her, I feel bad about myself.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. When you look at, okay. Maybe we're really talking about what the definition of desirable.
I would agree. This is an episode of The Office, BTW. But go on. I'll play. This
is it game. Really?
Yeah. They have the whole thing. It's not Megan Fox. It's somebody else. And they're like, is this person hot? They have a whole episode about, and they vote for 2 days about who is, if this woman is hot or not.
Because it's interesting that they were talking about this very subject on Adam Carolla's podcast, and he was fighting about how Mila Kunis made the list, and he's like, she doesn't belong on the list. He goes, I'm not saying she's not cute, but she is not desirable. Like, he goes, I've seen her. I've been in there to record Family Guy, and she is very cute. She's a little tiny girl, but it is not like, and he's very, you know,
how
crass.
Is Megan Fox not desirable?
But
then?
that's what I think is that we're saying is that I think what it is that it's interesting because it's almost like a psychological, it's like a Rorschach, what we're doing right here, in that you look at Megan Fox and you see that that she oods lust or desire, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I look at her and go, that just seems, it seems like there's something off there. Something that I
really,
yeah. But I look at Jennifer Lawrence and I go, there's somebody I could take home to mom. That's what I desire.
Interesting.
Isn't that weird? That's what I thought the same thing. That it's like, I think we're both kind of thinking, but it's like what you said, is that you said, I look at her and I feel like, I feel bad or whatever. And I'm like, yes, because I think that that you're thinking something that she makes you think something that you don't really want to think. Or even if I don't think it, like I would not, if she came up to me and said, let's do this, you, me, right now, I would go, no way, no how.
Uh-uh. Well, you're a married man. Of course you are.
But I feel like maybe not Jennifer Lawrence, because I feel like I'm getting to that point where I'm too old for her.
Yeah.
But
yeah, she's like, how old is she?
I think she's only like 23, 22, yeah. Something like that, but I don't know.
Really?
that's funny.
I don't think
but if she came up to me, I'd be like, and say I was 26, right? Yeah. Then I would be like, I'm going to put a call into my wife and then we're going to go over this. That's what's how this is going to go down.
This conversation is taking a very dark turn.
Why?
This is like Indecent Proposal right now.
No, it's not.
From a movie star.
No, it's not. There's no chance ever. There's never. That is a decision. I. There have been a lot of things you've been right about.
Yep.
As we talked about, maybe at the beginning or the end of this episode or the beginning.
Most of the time, I'm right about most things.
Right. This is not one of them.
You can make that a drop.
This is not one of them because okay. I am pretty sure that I am never going to have to make this decision. You know what I mean?
I concede. I concede, good sir.
I have fantasized about the idea. When I first started doing stand-up, I thought that, you know, maybe my act lended well to a sitcom and that maybe it could develop. And I go, what hot 24-year-old girl? Because
with serious daddy issues.
No, hold on.
All right.
My point is...
Serious daddy issues. That's the name of your next show.
Yeah, my sitcom. it's funny because I'm a dad. I like it. It might be my next album. That's not bad. But anyway, my point is that what hot 24-year-old, you know what I mean, that 10, 15 years from now, her career will be over being a hot 24-year-old, but she will look like a mom and will start playing moms in sitcoms, much like a Heather
Locklear. Jennifer Lawrence.
Right. Now, I wasn't thinking Jennifer Lawrence. I thought at the time, this was, you know, 5 years ago, I was thinking more like a Jessica Simpson.
Really?
Yeah.
I was thinking Hayden Panettiere, but then that's not.
No, she's too short and she's not. Yeah. She's not sassy. I need somebody who can throw a little bit of sass or something.
Who plays Phoebe on Friends?
Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah, that'd be good.
A 60-year-old Lisa Kudrow could play my 40-year-old wife.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I would definitely do that.
That's a great show.
And then that's the other thing I thought of, that it's like a Jennifer Aniston type could
please.
Play my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
How awesome would that be?
Yeah, mother-in-law. Is she that old now?
No, she's not that old.
She's like 45. Huh? Your wife disagrees that she
could not
play.
I'm saying in a sitcom, dear.
She couldn't play my wife. Jennifer, who do you want to play you in a sitcom version of your life, Natalie?
There's actually going to be a film made about our life. Whoa. She said if it was Reese Witherspoon, she'd lose a husband. She's pretty right.
Meaning that you'd leave her for Reese?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think that would be, again, a decision
really?
I will never have to make.
You would leave your wife for Reese Witherspoon?
Here's what would have to happen.
Where does she line up?
I'm going to entertain that. She's not on that list at all. She hasn't done anything that a publicist needs to promote in ages. Nothing against her career.
She's pretty.
She's very pretty, right?
Oh,
I think also kind of looks
Reese
like my wife.
Of course. Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's
because fair. Here's my
Bye,
point.
Bye, Natalie.
Yeah, here's what would happen. If she came up to me, there are probably two girls that I would have to have a sit down with my children. It would be Reese Witherspoon and
Kanye West.
Oh my gosh, she makes me stronger in ways that I could never describe on this non-explicit podcast. I think her name is Jennifer Goodwin. She was on Big Love.
You don't even know
she
her
was
name
on Once. She's on Once Upon a Time. I always forget her last name. I'm pretty sure her first name is Jennifer Goodwin.
And Josh Dallas.
But you might have to. Yeah, that's her. I was right. Jennifer Goodwin. Now, come on. That's
real?
A.
Oh, yeah. She's cute.
She's adorable. And I feel like she would, you know, I've seen her in interviews. I feel like she would, you know, be a nice lady to take care of my kids, you know. So even though I would still be home with them, I don't, you know.
Yeah,
but those are the two.
What is she from? She's in some stuff. I've seen her in some things.
Yeah, she's been in a bunch of movies and she's on Once Upon a Time now. But yeah. Those are the two that if I was ever
your
approached.
Your tastes have dramatically improved.
What are you talking about?
Well,
I've always had great taste in celebrities. It's real women that I don't have good taste in. That's where daddy drops the coin and the ball. I don't know what that happened.
Stop spending money on ugly women.
Yeah, seriously.
Justin is infamous within our friend circle for being attracted to leathery skin cougars for no reason at all.
I have always had an eye for an older lady. Now, here's what's happening. I am now in my wheelhouse. You see, if I had seen The Graduate, a young 12-year-old Justin Worsham had seen The Graduate, I would have done everything I could to try to have lived it.
Yeah.
I mean, I had everything going for me. If you really think about it, I had a paper out till I was 18 years old. I could have at
How
least.
How is that? That's not cool at 14. Why was that still cool at 18? Because you had money, is what you're saying.
No, you're way off. Way off.
Teach me why. What girl is like, oh, you're
not a girl.
Boy?
I'm going after. Do you know who The Graduate is?
Oh, yes.
I'm going after a woman.
You know what? I'd lost thread.
Yeah. I'm going after a woman, and all I need is a single divorcee.
Yeah.
Or maybe just a single lady.
The paper boy is hotter than the pool boy?
No, but there were no pools on my paper route.
Very limited imagination you have, sir. It's kind of one track. Actually,
wait, it's not imagination.
One route.
It's not an imagination. I'm saying that it was a viable option because there were no pools on my paper route. That meant no pool boys.
I know.
You know what
but
I mean?
That's what I'm
no
saying.
Chick is really going to go for the pizza delivery boy.
There aren't other pools out there that you couldn't that's what anyway go on with this
oh you're
story.
Saying that there was no pools in Modesto so there would not be a pool. No,
I'm asking you why not.
I'm saying a lady in her late 30s early 40s right when she's looking for a young lover, they have to stumble upon her.
I see.
I'm saying they fall into her lap literally. And it's not going to be a situation where she's going to be.
Does the paper boy stop by and have
I go collect.
Oh.
And maybe she can't afford the paper. So she's like, I got to pay for it. I got to get the money somehow. And I give her a little wink, wink, you know. And now, mind you, I'm sporting a very thin mustache. You know, I'm almost shaving. So.
You have a lot of time to kill on this bike.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm rolling around there at 6 o'clock in the morning. I've got easily a good 2 hours to kill before I have to get to school. So I finish the paper 6:30. I go by her house, you know, do a little bang, 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 and then shower, and boom, head to school. I'm already on my bike. She'll let me pack a lunch. She might even have some stuff.
What else did you want to talk about?
I was sitting here listening to this going, this just became not a podcast about video games, but a morning show. That's
this
what just happened.
Really disturbing.
Now my kids are throwing toys. Look, Jack threw. That's a $100 toothbrush you just threw.
He's like, well, you should go. He's looking at you like you should get that. Why don't you get up off your butt and come
so over here? So the thing I want to talk about, is, and I think 10 minutes is a fair amount of time. To
spend that's good.
Is Indie Gamer the movie.
Yeah.
If any of you guys listening have Netflix streaming, then you should do it. It would be really funny if I gave out my email and password to everybody that listens to this podcast
so
they could just use my Netflix stream.
That would be terrible.
but then all they'd be do want to talk about is what we watch, maybe.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
don't know. But
probably.
Anyway. So, but it's there on Netflix streaming, and I thought you had watched it. I think you thought I had watched it, but I think the person who watched it was another person that you gave the email and password to for my account.
Persons. It's several people. It's written on a wall in
Hold
a bathroom.
Hold on. Okay, wait. Because here's what happened. When you originally asked me, you said, is it okay if I give it to David Lockett and some friends? I hope it's okay. I just said his first and last. No, why does it matter?
I did not do that.
You did say that.
Friends?
You said that. Said, and I go, yeah, I don't care. It's not going to affect me.
Oh, I was kidding about the friends. Yeah,
I go, my only thing was is that I just didn't want them to mess up my queue, but if they started to mess up my queue, I could just change my password. Yeah. It would be fine.
I'm very funny.
So so anyway, I see it. I check it out. It had already been watched, and it's the guys that made Super Meat Boy and Fez, and for a lot of people, it's funny if you could see what Kevin is looking at.
I was trying to remember the one I had a big crush on when I was having these things.
Was it Christina Ricci?
It's Christina Ricci, yeah.
Did you watch Black Snake Bone then?
No. No, I didn't. I should have.
Oh.
That was kind of a
should have
bought
you that
picture.
Instead of Madden. then you could have, because right
I
now.
I could have had a nice solid divorce.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. If I buy it for you, now you're going to have to try and get that on Netflix, and it's going to be an awkward date night for you and the wife.
I'll just say that you did it.
Yeah, exactly. Say, Justin said this is a great
she
movie.
She doesn't have the same youthful charm that she had when she was littler, when she was younger.
See, I think better. I think better now than when she was younger.
No, but I'll take your second choice. Anyway, right. Go on.
Anyway.
Megan Fox.
Indie Gamer, these are the guys that made Super Meat Boy and Fez, and we have a lot of people that have asked questions, especially when we've had developers, like, how do I get into the gaming industry? And what I really loved about this movie is that I really think it gave a perspective on the indie gamer industry and the gaming industry.
Which is definitely a niche of our niche that we should be tapping a little more into. We're some pretty mainstream horrors here. We should start talking about some of the hard work that our indie brothers and sisters are doing.
I agree. But here's what I think.
Mostly my fault.
Yeah, I know that. But I mean, you're the brains behind this operation.
Yeah, I have very large brains.
I am all fat. That's what I bring to the table.
Oh, who's the muscle in this?
That's you. You see, you provide
I
the
I was
lean.
The brains.
No, but it's also the muscle. See, what I do is I pad. I fill.
I see.
That's what I bring to the table. but anyway, one of the things that with everybody sending emails like, how do I get into the industry and everything? Yeah. What I liked about this was that this is an example of how you don't have to get into the industry. You can make your own industry.
You can make your own industry, yeah.
And I think that it's something that is definitely, after watching this documentary, I think, and I wish we could get more developers on here because I do feel that it makes the industry a complete world where that is feasible, where you can, that's funny. For those of you who don't know, Jack just got Jacob's balloon. And
No one knew that. Yeah. For those of you who don't know. This just in, sibling rivalry is continuing.
Information that has never been passed through these airwaves. For anybody, I mean, I don't know, people may be looking at us through a webcam.
Maybe.
That we don't know about.
We thought so earlier.
So I think that this is a thing that is definitely an option where it's becoming like all the other industries that have been tapped into the internet where you can become a guy who gets a bunch of Twitter followers because you're funny, and then you get a development deal from ABC.
CBS, and it lasted very few.
Well, whatever.
It was terrible. But William Shatner was in it.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the guy that did Shit My Dad Says. I'm talking about...
My Dad Says.
Oh, sorry. I'm talking about there's the other guy, Bad Banana. He got multiple. He got books and all this stuff. But I just think that is a viable option for people now. One of the things that I think you'll find interesting about is that there are these guys. One of the guys, the guy that made Fez, he shows a game that he wrote for his Apple that was just a series of code that he wrote to make it flash, and he would stick his face close to the screen. He goes, and I could swear that I could see things in there. Like, I thought that the patterns would start to generate something in my brain, and I would be able to almost like see things like, oh, or read things that were not there. But wow. They, you know, and he's doing it as a grown man. And he's like, oh, my God, this is so cool. Like, he's sitting there looking at it and goes, I was so stupid. Like,
was he high?
No, no, bad. He's Canadian. But
oh, they don't have drugs up there.
Yeah. Well, they do. They're just paid for by taxes. So anyway.
Marijuana party.
I don't know. And I thought of, hey. Like, I talked to Kevin before we started recording tonight. And I think that I said, I go, you know, Kevin has been, you know, teaching himself some engines and kind of kicking around the idea of getting into the industry because it's something he's so passionate about. And it was another part of my personal life that I love. Like, I love playing video games. And I was like, here's another thing that technology has now made it to where if you have a solid product and put it out there, especially in that niche, you know what I mean? People find it and they will tell other people. Yeah. And it was great to watch these guys with this Super Meat Boy game that they just posted up there. And there were struggles, obviously, because there has to be, but they posted up there, and then all like these are guys that haven't worked for 3 years, and like the guy goes, "I just made more in 2 days than I have the last 6 years of my life combined."
How does he not work for three? He's Canadian.
No, no, oh. No. They live in like upstate New York or whatever.
How do they do that?
Well, he's married, so I think either his wife supported him or something like that. The programmer guy lived with his parents, and so became obviously a millionaire, and then paid off all his parents' debts. Because they, you know, essentially made it to where he could do it. And then the other guy bought a house for his wife, and then she wanted a hairless cat. So he bought her one of those. Oh. And that's what he did. Like, those were his first two purchases with the money he
made.
That's
adorable. And really? Not Hawaii? Go on.
No, but, and that's, here's the thing. And they're already working on their next game. And it's, I don't know. Maybe I feel like a lot of times I'm a victim of what the message is of these things, and I don't really see what's going on behind it. But I just thought it was a really cool story. And also a really nice insight into the gaming world and a great example of how people really cared about what they were doing, were passionate about it, put it out there, and because they cared about it. Like, what I like about it is that these games aren't, like, Fez, I think, is kind of unique and weird.
Yeah.
And so there's that
element. Is that the game where you put the screen up to your face and it teaches you things?
Yeah, it teaches you. You learn Kung Fu through osmosis.
I know Kung Fu.
And become a Shriner.
Fez, I get it.
Yeah, so, but anyway, but a Super Meat Boy is like essentially this guy saying, I wanted a game that was like Super Mario and all these other hard games that I played when I was a kid, but I wanted them to be for adults. Like, it's very simple.
Yeah.
It's very simple, but it's very difficult. And the way that they draw out the levels and the way they planned it and everything. And then the guy, the guy that made Braid, when he talks about that, and he talked about how people weren't getting it and how he was angry. Like, they have this video on YouTube.
So it's more than those two games. There are
Those are the two main ones. And then the kind of B backstory, side story, is the guy that made Braid, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I hope I'm not mixing up the games. I'm going to feel horrible. But the guy who developed it, like, he developed this online persona where if you talked about the game on a message board, he would show up.
Oh, wow.
And respond to what you said and go, I think you're not understanding what was trying to be done here. And,
wow. That's
and he
cool.
said, he goes, what really frustrated me, what I found was that the positive feedback I got from the game was the most hurtful, like the one that I hated the most, because I felt like they didn't get it. They weren't enjoying it for the right reason.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he was trying to, like, help them. And then there's this YouTube video of Soulja Boy, the rapper, although I think I'm supposed to pronounce it Soulja. but I'm racist, so I definitely say the R. So he's up there. He's like, look at this game. It's cool, you know. And he goes, this guy is like Mario, but he's wearing a suit. And he's just jumping around. He goes, but here's the coolest thing about the game. And then it has this time rewind thing. Like, it's like a VCR.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was inspired by the Prince of Persia game, where somebody told him, they're like, you know, that's a cool concept, but what if it was like a VCR? What if the whole game, instead of it being limited by whatever you charge up, what if you could just literally go back and forth through the whole game? And
I love it.
He had a game concept. All the level had been drawn out. So he's like, well, I'll apply that mechanic to this game. And that became Braid. And so the guy's like, there's no point to the game. You just run around jumping on stuff, going back and forth. And it's just funny because this guy, Soulja Boy, dismisses it. But this is 5 years of this guy's life.
Right, right.
Of every day, all day, working all day and into the night about, you know, trying to build this thing. And it was a great documentary, very interesting. And I definitely think anybody who's interested in a career in gaming should check it out. That's
done.
My opinion.
I'm going to go listen
and
to
I
it.
And
right
I highly,
now.
I would love to, I would love for this to be a platform for people who build their own games. Oh, are we saying goodnight? Okay. I love you, son. Good night. That if you're trying to do that, let us know. I would love to help you
yeah,
spread the word and get it out there, even if it's like just a little app or something. And I don't know. It's another one of those moments in life where I'm like, man, I go, I wonder if I would have had this opportunity, if that would have been something I would have loved.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, this is this is Jacob talking to his dad about stuff right now.
He wants me to check on him.
That's adorable.
He likes to know that I'm going to go in there and look at him while he's sleeping. That's what he likes to know.
Like Santa.
Yeah.
That's interesting. We'll have to talk more about that. I agree that I feel like I missed my calling. Let's start the second funniest production company.
All right, done.
It's done. All right. See you in top in-app purchases.
Suckers. We're coming for you, Denmark.
DLC me.
Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Don't forget to click through the Amazon banner. Please help us spread the word and grow the show. We appreciate all of you immensely. On behalf of my good friend Kevin Lewis, Justin Warner, saying,
okay, bye.